the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, November the 8th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. George Kent, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State responsible for Ukraine, criticized Rudy Giuliani, Trump's personal lawyer, for engaging what he called a smear campaign against the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine. That from the Washington Post. They report that Kent testified that Giuliani's assertions and allegations against the former ambassador are without basis, untrue, period. The Post adds that Jennifer Williams, a special advisor to Vice President Pence on Europe and Russia, appeared after being subpoenaed and testified behind closed doors for about 5 hours. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton declined to appear before the House investigators. A group of 11,000 international scientists, including about a dozen from Arizona, have endorsed a study which concludes the Earth is in a climate emergency.
Published this week in the journal Bioscience, the research says greenhouse gas emissions are rising, governments aren't making progress in averting the crisis, and that scientists have a moral obligation to warn about the threat. Brett Blum, a wildlife conservationist at the University of Arizona, says he and others who signed off on the study are frustrated with the lack of progress in dealing with climate change.
There's this perception within the scientific community that whatever work you do kind of speaks for itself. There's a very overwhelming body of evidence that doesn't just suggest that climate change is real. It should be indisputable. And yet we're still having a debate.
Blum says the research identifies key areas in which governments, business, and individuals can make critical changes to slow, if not halt, the onset of climate change. Blum thinks countries need to replace fossil fuels with renewable energy and invest in technology to extract carbon from the atmosphere. Mark Richardson reporting.
A victory in court for workers at a community college could have major statewide implications.
Workers challenged a district decision to change their work schedules without having them vote on it, as outlined in their contract. The Public Employment Relations Board ruled against the district, and this week the state Supreme Court let that decision stand. Jeff Freitas with the California Federation of Teachers says he hopes this will encourage colleges to respect the rights of the people who serve the students day in and day out.
It can set a precedent throughout the state about some back pay and the abuse of wages and benefits for your secretaries, your janitors, your transportation specialists.
The change meant that 5 years ago, people went from working 5 days a week to four longer days plus a half day Friday, the same number of hours overall, but no overtime pay on the longer days. Now, Antelope Valley College will have to pay them an estimated $1.5 million in back overtime. Betsy Sanchez, a spokesperson for the college, argues that because the schedules did not exceed 40 hours, no overtime was required. I'm Suzanne Potter.
This is PNS. Steam recovery projects are a cornerstone in helping to reduce pollution in the Chesapeake Bay watershed.
Stream rehabilitation is more urgent than ever, according to Rich Starr, a scientist with ecosystem planning and restoration, who'll give opening remarks at the conference. He says states in the watershed, including Maryland and Virginia, are pushing to fulfill the EPA's mandate to reduce nitrogen, phosphorus, and sediment pollution flowing into the Chesapeake by 60% by 2025.
I think it's difficult to say whether we'll achieve it or not, but the more positive thing to look at is the trend is going that way. We are definitely trending towards a healthier bay as a result of the work that's going on.
The Baltimore conference comes just a few weeks after Governor Larry Hogan called on Congress to fully fund $85 million of Chesapeake Bay restoration programs in the federal 2020 budget. I'm Diane Bernard reporting.
And after winning permanent reauthorization for the Land and Water Conservation Fund, public lands advocates are pressuring leaders in Congress to fully fund the program. A Senate committee set to vote on a permanent funding bill just after Veterans Day. Ed Bowman's with the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers in Texas, and he points out veterans frequently turn to public lands for solace after serving in combat.
We need to protect those places even more dearly for the people who have had to endure that hardship of fighting for our country. It's extremely important we make sure that those places are available, have access to them, and that they can go out and enjoy them after they have served our country so bravely.
After Congress permanently reauthorized the program back in March, the Trump administration proposed a budget that basically zeroed out the money for the parks. Washingtonians who work the land to provide their neighbors with food are coming together. That is, production season is slowing down.
The 45th annual TILTH conference starts today in Yakima. and the focus is on growing a resilient future. Aaron Murphy with the Tilth Alliance, the event organizer, says different tracks for the conference include education around sustainability practices, business planning, and social justice. She says many folks have been coming to the conference since its inception.
Farming is also super isolating, especially when you have people coming from all over the state. You know, that might be the one time of year that people actually see each other and see their friends and get to catch up and have that solidarity, get to vent about their frustrations, pick people's brains about new ideas.
Murphy says the event gathers farmers and farm workers, as well as researchers, educators, and other food system professionals. It runs through Sunday. For Public News Service, I'm Eric Tegedov.
Keynote speakers will touch on how to make small farms successful, and also revitalizing the coastal food culture for Northwestern tribes. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for wrapping up your week with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.